Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Give the gift that always fits with a gift card from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time for sport. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Catherine. Good evening. We're starting with tennis, and Serbia's president, Aleksandar Vučić, has described Australia's holding of Novak Djokovic in a government detention hotel as political persecution. The world number one's appeal against the rejection of a visa has been adjourned until Monday. He travelled there having received a medical exemption to avoid mandatory COVID vaccination rules, allowing him to compete in the Australian Open. Novak Djokovic's parents say they claim their son has been held in captivity in Australia, with his mother saying his treatment is not human, while his father, Serjan, has expressed his anger.
He's not in detention, he's in prison. They took all of his stuff, even his wallet. They left him with just a phone and no change of clothes, nowhere to wash his face. He's in prison. Our pride is a prisoner of these idiots.
Moving on to soccer in Manchester City, assistant coach Rodolfo Borrell says there's no plans to ask for tomorrow's FA Cup third round tie at Swindon to be postponed due to COVID. Boss Pep Guardiola has tested positive, while 21 members of staff, including 7 players, are currently isolating because of coronavirus. Borrell will take charge of the game, and he says Guardiola's feeling okay.
He's fine, obviously. He's got the virus. Fortunately, he hasn't got a lot of symptoms. But yes, and we are permanently in touch.
Championship High Flyers Blackburn have signed James Brown from Drogheda United. The 23-year-old joins on a free transfer following 3 seasons at the County Louth club. Brown was near ever-present last season and earned a place in the PFAI Team of the Year. And Matt Doherty could be heading back to Wolves this month. It's reported that Tottenham are interested in a move for Wolves winger Adama Traore, and Doherty could be used as a makeweight. The Republic of Ireland fullback only joined Spurs from Wolves 18 months ago. Elsewhere, Richard Arnold says he's honoured to have been given the role of Manchester United CEO. The 50-year-old will replace Ed Woodward on February the 1st. Arnold has been United's group managing director since 2013. And Arsenal striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has tested positive for COVID-19 as he tried to link up with Gabon team ahead of the Africa Cup of Nations. Former Southampton and Fulham midfielder Mario Lemina has also has COVID, as does one of the coaches. Gabon start their group campaign against Comoros on Monday. In Gaelic games, the Dr. McKenna Cup starts this evening with Cavan playing Armagh at Breffni Park, starting at 7:45. Meanwhile, Donegal, they begin their Dr. McKenna Cup campaign tomorrow night against Down at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Oisin Kelly and Martin McHugh will have a full match commentary on highlandradio.com from the 7:30 throw-in time. And the score programme gets back into full swing this evening with Oisin Kelly just after 7 o'clock news. The Donegal footballers and the hurlers start their years with action in that Dr. McKenna Cup and Conor McGurk Cups this weekend. Tonight, Oisin will be speaking with Declan Boner and Mickey McCann. Plus, LYIT start their Sigerson Cup campaign next week. We'll also hear from the LYIT manager, Maxie Kern. That's the score programme after 7 o'clock news. In cricket, England's cricketers will resume the fourth Ashes test against Australia in Sydney on 13 without loss and a huge challenge on their hands. The host declared for 416 for eight with recalled batsman Usman Khawaja scoring 137. Stuart Broad was the pick of the English bowlers, taking 5 wickets. Finally for this evening in golf, on the PGA Tour, it's the first event of the year. The Century Tournament of Champions gets underway this evening in Kapalua in Hawaii. Seamus Power is the only Irish representative in that event. That's all your sports this evening. It's back to Catherine.
Kenny, weather now. Showers will turn increasingly wintry this evening and tonight will be cold and blustery with widespread wintry showers, some of snow with accumulations in places, especially on higher ground. Lows of 0 to plus 2 degrees. closing headlines now, and the HSE says it's working on allowing people who've tested positive on an antigen test to register the result with the health service. Meanwhile, the HSE is asking people to be patient as they work through the large volume of referrals for PCR tests. Updated digital COVID certs won't be required to access services, including indoor dining. People who've received a booster dose of a COVID vaccine will start to receive their updated certs from today. And it's hoped that community engagement will be a key factor in the regeneration of the Buncrana shorefront. That's it for now. We're back with more at 6. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about stolen and missing cattle and also how a high percentage of eligible tractors, those used for commercial purposes, are failing the Road Safety Authority tractor test. But first, the Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture with responsibility for forestry, Senator Pippa Hackett, has outlined details about a new forest strategy for Ireland. The department will carry out extensive consultation with stakeholders and provide a range of opportunities for public engagement over the next year, she said. Donegal farmers are among those who have been frustrated by the current licensing system, and the department is set to carry out an online public consultation in the next few months and will provide a detailed online questionnaire which will encourage as many people as possible to complete it. The 2022 National Tillage Conference will take place virtually, split over 2 days. The first session will take place on Thursday, the 13th of January, and the second session will take place on the 27th of January, both at 11:30 a.m. Well, each year the Department of Agriculture releases figures about the number of cattle that have been reported as stolen or missing. Katrina Morrissey, news editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, has been delving into the figures and has been telling me more. I began by putting it to her that the numbers are quite high.
That's right, yeah, another big number. 1,027 cattle were reported either missing or stolen to the Department of Agriculture last year. The bulk of those would have been on the missing side. And some counties, thankfully Donegal was not afflicted by the theft issue, but Limerick, Meath and Kerry had some quite high figures. 204 for Limerick, cattle reported missing or stolen. Meath was another hotspot with 180 odd cattle there and 100 plus in Kerry. As I say, Donegal seems to have escaped the criminal aspect of it, none stolen or none reported stolen last year. There were 50 cattle reported missing in total by a number of different farmers, two of those recovered. And to be honest, I would suspect that maybe there was more of the 50 recovered, more of the two recovered. But sometimes farmers are just so relieved to have their cattle back that they forget about following up to say that they have been found.
Yeah.
So Donegal, not so bad on this year's rankings.
And how accurate do you think these pictures are? Because they're based on, obviously, what is actually reported, and I presume there'll be some non-reporting.
Yeah, I would imagine there would certainly be some missing cattle that wouldn't be reported. The theft, farmers, I suppose there's such traceability now, you know, farmers are liable for inspections. So if cattle are stolen or they're missing for any long period of time, if they had an inspection in that period, the Department of Agriculture would be asking some serious questions of them. So it is in their interest to report it on time. And that would be the advice if they were affected. Obviously, they would be reporting theft to the guards, and that would be the first thing the guards would tell them, is to report it to the Department of Agriculture. Because if a farmer is found on inspection to have not the right number of cattle compared to what is in the herd register, then there are going to be serious questions asked.
And have we any idea where these stolen cattle may end up?
Unfortunately, we would believe that some of them might cross the border, that some of them might have tags taken out of their ears and be presented as different animals. And we have had prosecutions for things like that in the past. And the Department of Agriculture comes down very, very heavily on anybody who does undermine the traceability, because we have a fantastic traceability system in Ireland for cattle, much better than many other animal species. And it's, you know, it's a fundamental part of our food chain credentials abroad as well, that we have such good traceability from farm to fork. So where anybody thinks they can dodge the system, they usually get caught, and they usually get a heavy, heavy penalty for it.
And is it likely in the areas where the figures are higher that it's being done on an organised criminal basis, or is it a case, do we think, of just individual crimes?
I would say more in some cases, it's obviously someone who knows what they want. In some cases, they have to be organised, I suppose, because it's cattle. They'll have to organise trailers. You know, they have to have some outlet or somewhere to keep the cattle before they move them on. We actually had an extraordinary case last year on the Tipperary-Offaly border, where a farmer who had 15 yearling dairy heifers stolen. He made it his business to make those cattle too hot to handle. He took to social media, he got in contact with local radio, he got in contact with ourselves and the Farmers Journal. And that actually resulted in the thieves dropping back the heifers to very close to his farm within 4 days. So he had really made their job very, very difficult. They had nowhere to move those cattle on to. They obviously wanted to get rid of them as soon as they could. So it was an effective strategy on the part of that farmer.
Absolutely. And for the farmer who does have cattle stolen or they go missing and are never recovered, naturally enough, they're going to be quite a bit out of pocket.
Absolutely. All of these, you know, every livestock unit is part of the farm family income, and depends on obviously the animal. But if you were, you know, you could be talking 1,500, 2,000, could be anything. It depends on the value of the animal, whether it's a pedigree animal, whether it's a young calf. But there's, yeah, animals are money in the farming context.
And do we know, is there insurance cover possible for such instances?
But you know, that's a good question. I would imagine that there is some level of cover in farm policies, but you'd want to get someone who is more au fait with the policy detail than myself.
Yeah, in the small print, as they say.
Yeah.
Turning to something different, Katrina, the Road Safety Authority has had tractor tests, well, starting back, I think, in about June 2018. There's been quite a high failure rate here, which may surprise people, over 50%.
Yeah, a high failure rate. This was the story by Peter Thomas Keaveney in the Farmers Journal Machinery section. There were 237 RSA tractor tests last year. They are a relatively new development, as you say, just there since June 2018. It is a specific cohort of tractors, so they tend to be the very powerful, fast tractors, as they're known. They'll be highly geared. A lot of them might be involved in some haulage business in addition to farm work. And last year, the test found that there was 20, actually, of the 237 tractors fell into the failed dangerously bracket. So a bit like your car in CT, there are different pass and failure categories as such. So there might be a minor failure or there could be a serious failure. And there were 20 of those tractors which fell into the failed dangerously category. They obviously can't go back on the road then.
Mm. And one suspects, as you mentioned there, like the NCT, as time goes on, no doubt we'll probably see more and more tractors having to be tested as the criteria will no doubt change.
That's right. And also the age of the vehicle comes into it as well. So it's a good thing, I suppose. It's a farm safety or a road safety issue. You don't want any vehicle on the road, whether it's a HGV, a car or a tractor, that can't stop in time or, you know, doesn't have the right brakes, lights, you know, those safety issues. So anything that pinpoints problems and can take a tractor off the road where it shouldn't be on the road, I think is to be welcomed in the overall context.
And that was Katrina Morrissey, news editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, reacting to the recent sheep kills reported throughout the country over the Christmas period, the IFA's sheep chairman, Sean Dennehy, has said that the government and various state agencies with responsibility in this area continue to sit on their hands on the matter. The IFA has met with ministers Charlie McConnellogue and Malcolm Noonan on the issue of sheep kills over the past year. And Mr. Dennehy said that the number of dog attacks on sheep is grossly underreported. Interestingly, there's an estimated 800,000 dogs in the country, with only just over 200,000 licences. Local authorities are responsible for the control of dogs. And finally, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue has provided the keynote address at the prestigious 2022 Oxford Farming Conference today. In his online presentation, among the topics he has been covering were how the Irish family farm model has lasted the test of time, the benefits of EU membership, and how the Food Vision 2030 strategy aims to grow food exports from Ireland to €21 billion in value by the end of the decade. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 6th of January. The death has taken place of John Nicholson, Ross Begg, Portnew. His remains will repose at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, tomorrow evening from 6 to 9, followed by Rosary. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11 to St Connell's Church, Kilcluny, travelling via Ross Begg and Portnew for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. John's Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Shovlin's Funeral Home Facebook page. The death has taken place of William Duncan, formerly of Bree, Mallon Head. His remains are reposing at John Anthony Doherty, Healy's residence, the Mullins, Carndonagh. Funeral from there tomorrow evening at 6:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Mass at 7 o'clock, then reposing overnight. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 9 to Milltown Cemetery, County Westmeath, for interment. The death has occurred of Dennis Bonner, Los Arbales, Lower Drumbow, Stranorder. His remains will repose at his late residence from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 12:30 for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder, followed by interment in Drumbow Cemetery. Requiem Mass will be streamed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Irish Cancer Society, care of McCool's Funeral Directors, Ballybuffet, or any family member. The house and funeral will be private, please, to family, neighbours and close friends. The death has taken place of Mervyn Diver, Kilmacrennan Road, Milford. His remains are reposing at the residence of his son Lexi and Patricia Diver, Court, Milford. House private, please, to family, neighbours and close friends. Funeral service on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock in Milford Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral service can be viewed on Patrick Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Milford Presbyterian Church Repair Fund or Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Dorothy Jane Dot McMahon, Victoria Road, Mahara Mason. A funeral service will take place tomorrow at 12 noon in Mahara Mason Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in Milford Presbyterian Church Burial Ground. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Lupus UK, the Heart Foundation or Cancer Research. The death has taken place of Joan Kennedy, née Mullen, 37 Glebe Gardens, Sion Mills. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. House private, please, to family and friends only. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has occurred of Margaret Roger, née Sweeney, Glenties and Fintan. Removal from her home tomorrow to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. House private, please, to family and close friends. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Flowers welcome, or donations, if desired, to the Glenties Daycare Centre, care of James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.